Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That is indeed what we do, Dan. Now, let me ask you a question.
Please do.
There are so many people clamoring for a reason to listen to a podcast about Alex Jones.
Totally.
We hear it all the time. When I walk down the street, first thing people do is say,
people.
Hold on, are you Jordan Holmes? And I say, yes, of course. I am. But it's not even that I love it so much or that I want the attention.
People of all colors and creeds come up to you.
I need to give them the answer to that question, which is, why would you listen to a podcast about Alex Jones, Dan?
Well, I don't know, quite frankly. Bad way to start.
The point was you were supposed to go into the bit wherein you say, because
I know a lot about Alex Jones.
There we go. God damn it. Now, you just gave them a perfect reason not to listen.
Yeah. So if you're turning it off, it's been fun. Thank you. We appreciate you listening for a minute.
Sorry for not answering your question whenever you walked up to me on the street.
So, Jordan, today what we're going to be doing, I did not tell you about this before the show, and I apologize to spring this on you. But we had an episode for a foreign policy wonk of ours that was he requested that we time travel back to a certain day in history. And I went ahead and listened to that episode, and I was going to get it ready for today, but it's actually going to require a bit more research.
Oh, no, Dan.
It is the other level of Alex Jones's anti-Semitism, and I don't want to go into it half-cocked.
That's a good idea.
It's not just the blood libel, well-poisoning kind of narratives or the protocols.
Right.
There's another level to
it. There's an upper echelon.
Yes. Alex gets into some stuff that I need to read up on a whole bunch more before we do it. So, in calling an audible, I had to figure out, you know, what are we going to do?
Oh, if you say Carrie Callahan.
No, we're not going to do that.
God damn it.
I've tried to find some good Project Camelot episodes lately, but there
haven't
been any.
Shit.
No, but I did do an episode live on Twitch on Wednesday of last week, a Thanksgiving Eve episode.
Okay.
And I don't feel like I was able to do the material justice.
Okay.
So there will be a few people who watched this live.
So if I understand this correctly, Dan, you have said to yourself, after doing a great job deconstructing things, why isn't anybody screaming?
Yes.
And so you're doing it again.
Well, there's that. That's part of it. But then the other part of it is I feel like you are missing out on this stuff, too.
Right.
And it would be unfair to deprive you of this.
Right. I don't want to fall behind our policy walks.
So
at least our Twitch policy walks.
This is all my way of saying we've never done this before, like re-recorded something. And to be fair, you're not.
I'm flying blind.
So some of the, like I said, some of you who are listening who are in the Twitch stream will have heard these clips. But you won't have heard them discussed quite like this.
All right. Reason number two, not to listen to the show. Thank you very much,
that
people
voice?
Who tried to make it through the first reason.
Now we're 3 minutes in. Thanks for listening. This is...
All right. So you're calling... okay. Can we turn this into a... let's call it... Shit, what's the name of the movie with Mel Gibson? Lethal Weapon.
Yes.
We're in a Lethal Weapon situation.
Sure.
Where you're getting too old for this shit, and I'm standing on top of a roof hanging on saying, let's jump.
Sure. I don't understand the metaphor, but yes, absolutely.
It's not important to understand metaphors. That's why you're coming back to the show with me.
Jordan.
Yes.
Last week.
Yeah.
On November 14th.
Okay.
Alex Jones posted a special report on his website. He did a little bit of a live stream, and he was pretty drunk.
I'm in.
The setup for this, what you really need to know ahead of time, is that he had recently done, right before this, had done a 36-hour marathon.
Yes.
And Vice came out with an article.
Yet another money bomb.
Yes.
Right.
And Vice came out with an article afterwards where a guy tried to watch the entire thing, and he reviewed it, and it was... Yeah, it was.
So we're in a supersize me situation where he's just watching Alex Jones for 36 straight hours.
Or a Dan situation.
Yeah, well, we're not as popular yet for people to take
I'm the Morgan Spurlock of this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't fucking pretend that this Johnny Come Lately is That's bullshit.
Fair enough.
But I met Morgan Spurlock one time. He was in Columbia, Missouri for a documentary film festival. I saw him at the bar I hung out at.
Good dude?
He was pretty nice, actually. I made some shit joke, and he laughed politely, patted me on the shoulder, shook my hand. Seemed like a graceful guy. Like, because he could have been
nice.
An asshole.
Yeah, he definitely could have been an
asshole. The joke that I made was not good.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was.
Right.
But it was not good.
He was attempting to make you feel at ease.
Yeah, or it was just a benevolent minor celebrity run-in. But anyway, be that as it may, that's irrelevant.
I do not ever want to hear the words benevolent minor celebrity run-in ever again. That is gross.
That's going to be a new segment.
You just grossed me out.
I have a list of I have a list of times I've run into B/C celebrities, and they did not mean me ill.
All right.
I'll tell you who's not on that list. Shaquille O'Neal. Not very nice.
You met him?
Met is a strong word. I one time, me and my dad snuck into the Lakers-Cavs game. It was like a preseason game in Kansas City.
Okay.
And we snuck in before the game so I could get some autographs because I was probably like, I don't know, 14 at the time.
Gotcha.
Or so. And so I'm getting Eddie Jones's autograph and I can't remember who else. Nick Van Exel, I think I got his autograph. And I looked.
Sure.
I liked him. He was good. I liked the Lakers back then.
This was.
My dad's from L.A., so.
Wait, if you're Lakers-Cavsing, that's when Shaq and Kobe were together.
Yes, I did end up getting Kobe's autograph. It was like
did Kobe write a diss track about you?
No, he was actually a benevolent celebrity. Not a minor one.
He's a professional celebrity.
He was very nice. Shaq was shooting free throws. He was practicing shooting free throws out on.
Oh, well, that's not the time to talk to him. He is bad at that.
But he was also not like, it was not an intense practice at all. And so I thought, like, what the fuck? I'm not going to get another opportunity. There's no other, like, fans around or anything like that. We snuck the fuck in through a, like, catering entrance.
Yeah.
So I walk up to Shaq on the court, and because I'm so shocked by how big he is.
He's very large.
He's very big.
You
and
think he's not going to be that big.
He's huge.
Even though you know he's that big.
Yeah.
He's very big.
Yeah. So I'm walking up to him, and because I'm so blown away by, like, oh my God, it's Shaquille O'Neal. He was, like, when I was 10, he was on the Magic, and that he was super cool then.
Yeah.
Now he's on this, cool Lakers team.
Yeah.
And so I don't see out of the side of my eye that he has a fucking bouncer. He has a bouncer to guard while he does free throws.
That sounds
even
right.
Even though there's nobody out there for him to be bouncing.
That sounds right.
So I approach, and the bouncer's like, nah, don't interrupt him. And I get it, it's fine. But Shaq looks, he turns around and looks at me, and he's like, meh, just shrugs at me.
Like, is it? Now that's a benevolent minor celebrity
no,
running right there.
No,
that is
not.
Benevolent.
No, that's malevolent.
That's Mean Joe Green levels of it. He didn't throw you his jersey. He gave you the shrug.
The shrug.
The shrug is a gift from Shaquille O'Neal.
The shrug.
The gift from Shazam himself.
That was Kazam. The shrug screams.
Apologies.
What can I do? And I'll tell you what you can do. That guy works for you. Even as a, like, young teen, I got the, like, you could just fucking sign this. It's not going to cause a, like, barrage of people bum-rushing the court or something like that. It was bullshit.
I think what that was is him treating people fairly.
Shaq's an
Look,
asshole.
Look, if he lets you close, he has to let every kid close. You can't do it.
Shaq's an asshole.
It's fairness.
I stand by it.
It's communism. That's the real issue with Shaq.
Anyway. Where were we? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. We were redoing an episode. For everybody who was
not
listening
redoing.
To everybody who listened to the Twitch episode, you didn't get this.
No,
you
already
didn't get
fresh
minor
content.
Celebrity run-ins.
Benevolent minor celebrity run-ins.
Again, still not okay with
it's
that.
It's going to be a segment. Can't wait to tell you guys next week about how I met Don Cheadle.
That, you know what? That actually might propel us into stardom. You and your minor celebrity. Don Cheadle is not minor. Don Cheadle is an international superstar, my friend.
He acted like a minor celebrity. I mean, he was humble. Anyway, I'll talk about it next time on the show. Let's not give away the farm.
I'm sure he loves the Kendrick Lamar song, Humble.
Stay humble. So, Alex Jones did a 36-hour marathon, and it was clear that it was just to make money and a desperate cash grab.
Of course.
So then Vice did this article, and I've discussed it briefly in the past. It's a very toothless article is the way I describe it.
Naturally.
The guy writing it does understand that Alex's performance model is to just scare people and then sell them shit.
Yeah.
He gets that, and I appreciate him nailing that.
Yes.
But he doesn't deal with like the fact that Dr. Group is on and he's not a doctor.
Right.
He just makes fun of his appearance.
Right.
He doesn't get any of the subtext to the things Alex is saying.
Right.
There's no discussion of any of the actual narratives
right.
other than they're to scare you.
Right.
When, I mean, that's fine, but you're just getting the surface.
Like Bethay and that fucking New Yorker article I'm still very, very angry about.
Sure, sure. That or the
so
New York Times
about
article
that.
About
the
Nazi.
The New York Times article, yeah.
Over the weekend.
Yeah.
Or any number of things.
Who gives a fuck? Anyways,
right.
Continue.
So Alex pretends to be outraged, or I guess he's... This special report is in response to Vice doing that article.
Yeah, of course.
And we'll get into it, but first, here is an out of context.
Which was a godsend for Alex, because then he can wipe away the 36 hours thing and go right into attack mode, and the media is going after him.
And he does it very interestingly, but first, let's have an out of context drop from this episode to give you a little bit of flavor about where we're going to be going.
Okay.
That right there, I need to get...
That was him popping open a beer can, wasn't it?
No.
Oh.
A switchblade.
The what?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just I want to be with you. liberal. Seriously. Oh, come on. Liberal. Liberal. Good.
So. That should give you a sense of the Alex Jones we're
okay.
dealing with here today.
Okay.
He pulls out a switchblade, flips it, and starts stabbing
right.
towards the camera.
All right. That is way better than Gollum. I'll tell you that right now. If
instead of Precious, he said liberal?
Oh, yeah. No. Redo all of Lord of the Rings. That's all I'm going to do. Listen. Redo all of Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Just CGI Alex Jones into the Gollum part.
Mm.
Perfect movie.
Who, if you had to recast the rest of the roles with InfoWars personalities.
Okay.
How
right.
would you do it?
Well, I would say that Dr. Group is going to be our Boromir, because clearly he's the one who's going to take the whole operation down with his lies.
Okay.
Or with his fake products there.
That's possible.
Okay? Now, of course, go fuck yourself, John Rappaport. He's our Gandalf. No
he's
way.
He's the gray.
There's no way we cannot make him Gandalf.
Rappaport the gray.
Yep. We got Rob Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Dew is our Samwise Gamgee.
I feel like Samwise is too effective.
No, I think it's because Rob Dew is a fumbling, bumbling moron. Now, I could have said Eddie Bravo, but we can't do that. Eddie Bravo's heart is too good to be in
He's Tom Bombadil.
Yes.
Eddie Bravo is the Tom Bombadil.
Hey, Dairy Doll, ding dong Adillo.
So,
that's right. Did you think I didn't know Lord of the Rings?
No, I don't.
Excuse me.
No, you're still salty about the other night.
I'm still salty about the other night.
The other night, me and Jordan's girlfriend may have made fun of him about not knowing Lord of the Rings. We did not think you didn't know it.
That's not important.
Fair enough. Anyway,
right.
Let's get on with it. To quote Barry Manilow, let's get into this episode. Here is where we start. Like I said, he did a marathon.
Yes.
Vice wrote an article about trying to watch the entire marathon. Then Alex does this.
But I got to tell you, I recognize good humor when I see it. And because Vice is a popular outfit and works with HBO and has been lately obsessed with us on a daily basis, because they've been worshiping the toad in my double chin and begging for another 34-hour broadcast, I've decided to go live from here on out 34 hours.
Forever.
Now, the media will spin that. The Young Turks will say that I literally think there's 34 hours in the day.
Yeah.
But seriously, I'm thinking about doing another 34-hour broadcast. In fact, I've decided to do it. What day is we decided, Rob?
27th. Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday. The 27th right will kick off at 8 a.m. Yeah. The same barnstormer they fear so much, David Knight. Riveting transmission. 8 a.m.
That's sarcastic. He knows he's being sarcastic there.
He absolutely
is. He knows he's being sarcastic.
He has a shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah, of course.
Because half of the Vice article was about David Knight being boring as shit.
He's the most boring.
And Alex has a look on his face as if to say, like, I know he's boring.
Yeah.
The Barnstormer.
Come on, Alex. You can't even pull that off.
So as this episode comes out, it will be Monday.
No one is that delusional.
So today, as this episode comes out, Alex will be in his marathon. And again, like, you can tell the artifice immediately from Rob Dew being like, we're doing it Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's the day everyone buys stuff online.
Yep.
You're just doing this because you need money.
I bet. They might have even better sales on Cyber Monday, my friend.
Possibly if they didn't exhaust the half of their audience that's people.
50% off? Nuh-uh.
Free shipping.
65% off.
Oh, shit.
75 if you get auto refills.
Well, it's 10% off if you get auto ship. But then, it's just like those CD clubs. I've gone through and looked at reviews of his stuff, and, like, there's a number of people who complain about, like, automatically getting set up for auto ship and not realizing it, and then making it like a huge hassle to try and get off of it.
That I believe. If you sign up for auto ship, though, that's because you're dumb. The internet is not that hard.
It's true.
Click, click.
But
not on auto ship.
But if you get auto ship, then you get all the stuff guaranteed. Even if he sells out, you still get it.
Because
he holds back for the auto ship people.
That is not real and does not make sense.
No, it doesn't.
That is not a real thing that you can do.
Yeah. So the lay of the land, again, to reset. He did a marathon. Vice wrote a toothless article about it. Now he's pretending that in order to piss off Vice or something like that, he's doing another marathon. When in the reality, you can see through it immediately.
Yeah.
He didn't get enough money from that last one. He needs to do another one. Cyber Monday, when everyone buys stuff online, perfect timing for it. Boom.
Right.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Right.
It adds up perfectly.
All makes sense.
But he's going to complain a little bit more about Vice.
Sounds good.
Places like Vice, huge lengthy articles trying to demoralize us, telling us how much we suck and how we're super unpopular and how we're absolutely pathetic. Of course, you're reporting on us constantly. And, you know, we only got a couple extra million viewers, and now we're big jokes. That makes me realize I've got to accelerate my program to start going 24 hours a day live with other hosts very, very soon in clips, because if it's pissing you off on our own platforms, we're reaching millions of new people every week, we better intensify that. That said, though, it's things have gotten a little more serious.
The
Soros-funded lawsuits, the threats, and all of it. It's all frivolous and bounces away. But the average person would be panicked by this. Me, I take it like a heat-seeking missile going in towards the engine ports on my target.
You're the Death Star in that analogy.
Missile to shoot it down. I'm like, shh. I fly right into the heat exchange. I don't detonate till I'm up the ass of the engine. So I'm already a couple feet in there before it's like, boom, and like, wow, you know. So, or if it was radar guided, they got radar out trying to catch me, and I'm like, zzz, right into the radar, you know, installation. So this is what I came for. But that said, it hurts my humanity to realize they've recruited this many people.
You just described yourself as a missile.
Well, but
also a Death Star.
He
also maybe a laser.
He mixed the metaphor, because at the beginning he was talking about other people attacking him, and then he became the missile.
Yeah,
I don't get it. But be that as it may, the way that rambling like metaphor goes like that, I mean, that's drunk tracking. That's not clear cognition.
No, absolutely.
At the end,
his main issue with Vice is the first adjective he used to describe them, which was lengthy. They write lengthy articles. He could have just stopped at lengthy and we all would have been like, oh yeah, no, we know.
You can't read. It's
we
fine.
Know why.
Well, but if he had read it, he would have read them talking about how he's great.
Yeah.
Like, he's an amazing showman, and even though the content was terrible, the reviewer was talking about how he couldn't wait for Alex to get back on.
Of course.
Because if you watch these other ding-dongs, it's just like,
that's
Alex
why we don't do an InfoWars show. We do an Alex Jones show.
Yeah, because he has a brilliance about him within his insanity and
yes. Yeah, no one knows better than us, I would say. So, Vice Dude, if you're writing another 34-hour article, here's my piece of advice. Don't watch it. Call Dan.
Sure. Yeah.
Dan will do it.
I can help you out.
Yeah.
I'll do a much more scathing job.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'll do that. Oh, that's a bad idea.
That is a bad idea.
I shouldn't have said that.
No.
I don't think I'll do it.
Okay.
I
don't think anybody expects you to do it.
I mean, I could not watch it and do a more thorough recap than most people. But,
of course.
But be that as it may, I'll watch some of it.
I mean, the Vice guy got paid, I'm sure, overtime, although he's probably salary, so no. But anyways,
look,
he got paid to watch it, and you will not be.
If some publication, although this is coming out when it's too late for anyone to pay me to do it.
That is an issue.
Next time, because inevitably
why
you will.
Why is it we're so good at giving InfoWars advice and so bad at giving ourselves advice?
We're shitty.
We're bad at this.
So, but he's, I think the other thing that he's mad at about Vice goes into what he says there at the end. And he's like, it hurts my humanity that there's so many people who are getting paid to do these hatchet jobs or to turn on me.
Right.
I think that he associates Vice with Gavin McGinnis.
Okay,
and
that's an interesting proposition.
Well, because Gavin McGinnis was one of the founders of Vice.
Yeah.
But he was out real early.
Yeah.
But I think Alex still thinks that he's super involved with it. And there's some, like, this publication should be on my side. Me and Gavin are cool. I think there's something like that in his head.
Hmm. I don't know if I hear that in his voice, though.
Well,
you have advanced knowledge and information, so I apologize.
Check out this next clip.
Currently, I do not agree with you.
Let's see if you change your mind.
I've been contacted this week by three prominent libertarian patriot people that are online. And they said, my gosh, we've been contacted by George Soros groups or by other media groups he controls, offering us money to make up stuff about you. And obviously, we're not going to do it, but man, are you okay? And then sure enough, though, you finally then see somebody that does take the bait of, like, they'll be a real boy or real girl soon, as long as they, you know, sit on George Soros' lap like he's magic Santa Claus.
I prefer Velveteen Rabbit.
Interestingly, they'll be a real boy.
Yeah.
Pinocchio is about lying.
It's don't understand.
Interesting that came up in his mind.
Don't understand. Huh?
Anyway.
What? Huh?
And it doesn't hurt you that people are getting ready to make up horrible lies about you, because you know that will just make you bigger in the community because folks are already ready for it. It hurts you to see somebody become a Judas Iscariot or
right.
to see
well,
somebody
you're...
become a Benedict Arnold.
You've got a better...
And that's what freaks me out, that they have got a big paycheck out there, and you're just like, damn.
So,
all right, fine. You're right.
I'm not certain if my
you're right.
I'm not certain if my theory is correct. But
clearly, it is.
I think that he's presenting this like Mike Cernovich and Jack Posobiec told me that George Soros groups tried to get him to flip, and now this article comes out in Vice. He can't possibly be talking about the actual guy who wrote the article.
No, of course not.
Because Alex has no idea who that guy is. I don't really have any idea who that guy is. I looked at his past. I saw that he had a bunch of articles that he's written that were critical of the alt-right. So it doesn't seem like Alex should have any reason to think that the two of them are allies.
Okay.
But Gavin McGinnis, Vice.
Conspiracy theory.
I'm listening.
It's Alex Jones' son.
Rex?
Yeah.
Dun-dun.
Yeah, that's why it's a huge betrayal. That's why it's a Judas Iscariot. His son, whom, and he can't out him because he is still his son. He loves his son.
It's true.
Can't say that all of that is fabricated and the backstory is actually something that Alex himself helped cook up in order for Rex to disseminate pro-Alex Jones material in Vice by the way of pretending to be anti-Alex Jones. However, he went native.
Mm-hmm.
So now Rex,
okay,
at Thanksgiving dinner, reveals all of this to Alex Jones.
This is pre-Thanksgiving, though.
That's not the point.
Okay.
They have Thanksgiving early. God damn it, Dan.
They have Thanksgiving every night.
He was working on Thanksgiving.
He loves Americana. Thanksgiving is Americana.
All right.
Every night is Thanksgiving.
You really ruined my momentum
there.
I was fucking flying through that,
Oh, you
man.
Were cooking.
I was going for
you
it.
You were cooking.
And you were like, oh, I have to bring facts into this.
All I could think about while you were saying that is like someone directed me to a picture of Alex Jones's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it's all like him and his wife doing the OK symbol. Of course, just trying to troll people with white nationalist ironic symbology.
Right.
And then Rex sitting on the couch looking fucking uncomfortable. And it made me really sad. All of it made me really sad.
All right, Vice.
Every level,
Vice, the ball is in your court.
Every level of it made me so sad. First of all, Rex, it might have been a poorly timed picture, but he looked bummed out.
Yeah.
And then Alex and his wife, let's just say Alex, taking a family picture to try and antagonize liberals.
Nothing says family and Thanksgiving more than go fuck yourselves, people I disagree with.
I don't understand it. Like, I have very little family values. Like, I don't really.
I'm a big very low on that number.
But still, that seems like crass to me.
Yeah.
That's still using your family.
There's nothing more Americana than that, though.
Yeah.
Crass, co-opting what is ostensibly a family bringing together holiday for crass commercial purposes.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
that sounds like Americana to me, my friend.
Yeah, you have a point. You have a point. So,
back into it.
Yeah.
Into the real job.
This next clip, Alex rambles a bit about some cultural trends he's not thrilled with.
That's all I'm saying is there's this anti-Christian crap. Christian? Their daughters date till they run away at 18.
I should say, he's talking about Roy Moore. he doesn't really He doesn't really come out and explain a lot of the things he's talking about, but he gets into, like, side thoughts, and then they develop. And this one is Alex's narrative about Roy Moore is not that he's sexually assaulted a bunch of people, some of them minors, and trolled malls and various like sporting events looking for kids.
Right.
And shit like that.
You know, like a future Senate Republican.
Yeah. What Alex believes to be the case is that Roy Moore, like a Southern gentleman might do back in the day, he has asked parents if he can date their teenage daughters. Back when he was like 30, and Alex thinks it's creepy, but he's not ready to say it's bad. Like, you're creating a fake version of what happened, and then you're still not denouncing it, or you're still ambivalent about it. It's very weird. So anyway, that was the setup for what he's talking about there.
Okay.
Let's get to
it. So if I understand correctly, he is saying it is not okay if a grown man of, let's say, mid-30s, goes to the parents of a 14-year-old girl and says, now, or perhaps he says, now, my dearest parents.
Put on your foghorn leghorn. Just go for it. Just pull the trigger. Now, I'll say.
Now, daddy.
I do declare.
Let me tell you something about that beautiful daughter of yours. Now, you done a great, great job, sir.
You got to throw more in. I say.
Look, this isn't meant to be insulting. Okay?
Fair enough.
This is a purely accurate Southern accent. And if he asks then and receives her father's blessing.
The ownership of blessing.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah. Then it is not okay. But listen,
it's creepy.
I'm not going to judge.
It's creepy.
That's his point right there.
He goes as far as creepy, but not much further.
And as you said, he is lying about the circumstances to make Roy Moore look better. And no matter how
creepy.
Hard he lies, he still gets to creepy.
Yeah.
Like, he goes from how low the bar is that if you look, hey, pedophile's too bad. Attempted pedophile? I don't know.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
So here we go. Let's start this clip over now that you know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is there's this anti-Christian crap. Christian? Their daughters date till they run away at 18. Now it's like the Christians are giving their daughters to old men and devil worshiping. And meanwhile, you've got Austin this weekend. Three-year-olds walking over to men, shaking their butts in their faces, giving them $10 on video at Infowars.com right now. But no discussion. I mean, if I saw Roy Moore doing that, I'd say, God almighty, arrest this guy. But as long as it's liberal, it's okay. Them 16-year-old girls, keep your damn hands off them, but if they're 3 years old, well, it's liberal.
I love the
Rob Dew.
You nailed it.
I don't know, though. People
Frodo,
politics are weird.
I'll carry you.
You missed the punchline here.
What did he say?
Here, I'll just play it for you. Long pause.
I don't know, though. People in politics are weird.
Great.
Yeah. All right.
So,
good thing I got that one.
What he's talking about there at the end is that Austin recently had a national drag queen convention. And, of course, Alex Jones sent out a crew to try and get some damning video
And I'm sure he got them selling baby parts, I assume.
Totally, yeah. Yeah. Project Veritas would have done a better job.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I went and watched the video that Alex is talking about, and there are kids and adults that are holding up bills while a drag performer is doing a routine. And it doesn't even seem clear that the kids know what's going on. They're kind of just like props.
Whee!
And they have no idea. It's not sexualizing them. It's not at all anything crazy. And then even beyond that, one of the things that is great is that you see a bunch of there in the videos that they have that they think are so damning. There are kids who are ostensibly cross-dressers who are doing routines with people who are maybe on Drag Race or are like their idols or are benevolent minor celebrity interactions for them.
God damn you.
But, you know, so they have they're getting to have a really great experience that they wouldn't be able to have under other circumstances.
Which is why Alex hates it and he would prefer if they were sexually assaulted by
Roy Moore.
Gotcha.
But at the same time, all he has to go back on is like 3-year-olds giving men shaking their butts dollars. And
furthermore, that is not a rebuttal.
No, it's not.
That is not like a, hey, what he did was wrong and I think that liberals know. It's just like, no, he's evil. But also you're evil too. So that means it's fine if he's senator.
But it's not evil.
No, it's not.
It's not.
But that's his argument.
Yeah.
His argument is like, I'm not going to jump on Roy Moore and say it's fine. Although he has a weird, it's anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And the proof is that Christians won't let their daughters date until they run away at 18, which seems like it's bad already. Is he defending that?
That's not a great like life pattern. You
yeah,
know?
Is
like,
he saying that that's okay? And yet
all kids should run away.
Yeah, wait. So he's saying it's bad to be anti-Christian, even though Christians
they breed runaways.
Keep their daughters in a cage until they're 18?
Yeah, they make them coiled springs,
right.
And then they once they're legally allowed to, they run away and do heroin in the streets. And, yeah, of course.
So, of course, it's fine because anti-Christians hate when women are subjugated.
And sometimes they give dollar bills to drag queens.
Yeah.
And also, Alex is going to mix this up, and it's just worthwhile to make a point. He's going to scream a lot about trans people, and drag queens and trans people are not the same community necessarily.
No.
So be that as it may, just to point that out ahead of time, because it's going to get murky.
It's already murky. I'm not sure what it is he's trying to attack or defend at this point.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I watched this entire let me tell you this.
I don't know whose site he's on anymore.
The reposting of this, I was scrolling through the special reports trying to find something that was interesting to cover.
Yeah.
And I was like, this video is 11 hours long.
That's too long.
And so I clicked on it and I scrolled to like an hour 5 or something like that. And Alex, first of all, he has a goblet of booze.
All right.
He's clearly drunk and he's talking about some just rambling nonsense. And I'm like, 11 hours of Alex sitting there drunk. This is going to be amazing.
But then it cut to just the repeating video of bacon pancakes mixed with New York by Alicia Keys.
No, it was just an upload glitch. It's only like an hour and 10 minutes long.
Okay.
But be that as it may, I got so excited. It was like 11 hours. He's gonna be so fucked up at hour 7.
Yeah,
but it was not to be.
Oh, I'm
but at
sorry.
The same time, I watched this entire thing and like I don't really know exactly what his point is. Except Roy Moore is creepy, but fine.
And Vice is bad?
Vice is abandoned him.
Gavin, where you at, bro?
I don't know. So anyway, he gets back to Roy Moore in this next clip.
Cool.
But the fact that he was, like, reportedly courting a bunch of these women, if it's true, I just don't think it's a good thing. But where's the proof, Rob?
Well, and how old's his wife compared to his age? Did we look at that?
She was 25 when he was 35.
So it's a 10-year difference. With 25 and 35, not that big a difference.
No, that's not. That's totally.
Yeah, but if she's 13, it is! Are you missing the goddamn point, dude?
Yeah, he is, but they are also missing some facts. They're 14 years apart, not 10. Which, at different points in life is totally fine. No big deal. But there are some indications that he may have met her when she was 15 and he was 29. So if that's the case, then that age difference is very relevant.
So I think that's a Yahtzee? Is that what just happened? Did we just get a Yahtzee?
I think we did. But like Alex is being like 25 and 35. He doesn't have any facts in front of him. He doesn't have any knowledge of the actual situation. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, but he's got a Samwise Gamgee right over there to help him out.
To sign off on his non-true stats.
Right.
And that's why when he's like, where's the proof? They can pretend that there isn't any.
Yeah.
They can pretend that there isn't any because they don't even know the rudimentary facts. It's fucking insane. It's nuts.
All right. that is gross. Roy Moore is gross. Mm-hmm. And if you write anything nice about Roy Moore, you're gross. If you say anything nice about Roy Moore, you're gross. And that doesn't even include the pedophile shit.
Yeah.
You are already gross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating to me that this is not, it's still not enough. He's going to win.
Probably.
He's going to win.
Well, that's something
he's going to be a senator.
That's something I've been thinking about.
At least we got Dennis Hastert out 40 years too late.
Right. And Alex harps on that a whole great deal.
Yeah, of course.
That's something that I've been sort of wrestling with, and that this is going to be a downer. I think the battle is lost. I think that at this point, all we can do in some respects is prepare for disaster. Like, cause I don't, the way that I see the people who could help, not helping.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just Alex Jones. I mean big picture, a lot of this stuff. I do not see necessarily activism and I hope a lot of that stuff can help, but like, I don't necessarily see a way that net neutrality isn't going to be.
It's the end.
Yeah. And I don't see how that's not going to happen. The stripping of the net neutrality rules. And then when you have that, you just, the internet is destroyed.
Here's what I was thinking along the way over here.
Healthcare is going to be rolled back by all of the,
if they pass
Byzantine...
these tax cuts, we're fucked.
Yeah. I think there's a good chance that they're going to get that done.
They're going to.
Yeah. And at that point, when you add in, here's the piece of it that I should have realized sooner. You add all that together with why the fuck did Donald Trump immediately restart his 2020 election campaign? Was one of the first things he did was install someone to oversee elections? It's because they're not planning on running a fair game ever again.
No, of course not.
They're not planning on any of that. And when you take away the net neutrality, you end up with a situation where all information that's disseminated.
Any voice that is, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then you have the tax cuts that are going to destroy healthcare. You have people who are going to be scrambling to live.
Yep.
Not to.
As if we aren't now.
Right. Not to fix society, not to make active change in communities, not to help the disenfranchised because they're disenfranchised themselves.
Right.
You're going to have a situation where, I don't want to be alarmist about stuff, but like modern day feudalism could be 3 years away.
Something like
2 years away. It's absurd to me how close we are right now. And when you have a president like Donald Trump, you got nothing.
You know what I've decided?
You've got nothing.
You know, genuinely along the way over here, I was thinking about how it is that we could actually get something done in the Democratic Party.
Uh-huh.
And the situation that they cannot and will not understand is how angry everyone under the age of 35 is.
Yeah.
How angry we all truly are. They don't have any concept of that.
And we're a giant majority.
Yeah. And they can't ride along that wave. So what we need is somebody to run for a minor office, like the House. Mm-hmm. Somebody to run for the House and actually channel that rage into a national campaign. Every race now is no longer a local race. It is completely national because we all know at this point that it is national.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do anything in local politics because national politics has completely taken over. And even if you are in a state Senate house or mm-hmm. something along those lines, the Republicans control those legislatures. Even then, the people in Congress are trying to defund those things with this very tax bill.
Yeah.
They are taking over every local race and turning it into a national one. So we need somebody who is capable of channeling that rage of young people and actually turning it into an election win. Because as much as they can screw things over, young people are still a huge majority.
I've told you my
and
idea.
So I've decided to run.
Okay.
I'm not joking. I genuinely think it might be.
You can't help in Chicago.
It might be. I might be the person who can channel that rage.
All right.
Because I am essentially that rage personified.
I will be your campaign manager.
I think it's a good idea.
We are starting a new party.
It's
the fuck that shit party.
We need to primary Democrats. That's what we have to start doing.
Probably.
Because the ones that we have now, even if they have great voting records, are not capable of doing what needs to happen, which is to develop a national movement.
Well, I think that if a lot of Democrats stepped down or a lot of they just cleaned house, I think that would maybe have some positive benefit for the younger folk, like
we
in terms of getting them on board.
We legit need to get rid of people who are 50 and older in government.
Term
that
limits,
can't
baby.
Happen. That can't happen anymore.
They
are killing all of us because they are dying.
All right. We have some gloomy ideas about where everything's
going.
So
if anybody would like to help with my campaign.
Great.
Let's do it. We're going to get a, I'm going to do a,
do you even know when the
I'm
next
do
race
a viral
is?
Video.
I can see it now.
These motherfuckers are doing the vote for me in this December.
I'm losing it. Sure. You have my
it's
support.
You have
my support.
It's legit what needs to happen. I think that's the issue is that really is the only way.
At this point, I disagree. I don't think it's going to help.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it needs to happen.
I think collapse is imminent.
All right. Well, see, that's where we might actually disagree.
All right.
If we can actually turn these protest movements into a real political party, I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because all we're doing with the protest movements is making a big stink and then nothing changes. Whereas if we can turn Black Lives Matter into a political party, we're in a different world. If we can turn the Women's March into a party, we're in a different world.
Mm.
We're just incapable of doing that.
Maybe.
Because young people still feel so helpless due to the position that we've been put into.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's get off this because otherwise we're going to be here all night.
Which is why I'm going to win this December. 3 weeks after the votes have been cast.
Okay. So, Alex, like I said earlier, he's mostly mad about the Vice article.
Yeah.
And so, one of the things that he doesn't like about anybody who ever reports about him and Donald Trump is that there's...
And us, if he knew about us.
Well, we don't use anonymous sources.
Mm.
And Alex, in this next clip, is sort of not understanding how that works and really wrestling with the issue.
I mean, could I just... be quoted in news articles about some other famous person? Like, I knew Frank Sinatra. I mean, I didn't, but Frank Sinatra came in one time to the movie theater I was at, and he admitted to me that he had hundreds of children buried in his basement, and they liked to chop little children's heads off and pull their tongues out with pliers. I mean,
troubling
it wouldn't be true.
True.
I didn't know Frank Sinatra. He didn't kill children. They weren't, you know...
Good
That's
saying.
What I mean. There's like this,
Avoid
this
that
thing with BuzzFeed and their Pissgate deal and all the rest where they know they're liars. And they know they're lying to you. And then I just go, oh, I just got a phone call. Hello? You're saying BuzzFeed are actually 14-foot reptoids with big green tongues. Oh, I just got a source that BuzzFeed's 14-foot. Aliens.
You just switched the knife again.
And I know we know they're fake news. So then we ask, what is the point? And I think the point is, they just want to disrupt and get us talking about them.
So, that was probably the most self-reflective he's ever been, but while talking about other people.
Yeah. Yeah, he nailed himself.
Yeah, just want to disrupt and get attention and get people talking about them is exactly his business model. But then even
I think that's what he says, like on his mirror, he's got all of that written. And then on top of that, a to-do list.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, he pulls out his phone and he's like, oh, what's that, BuzzFeed or Reptoids? It's like, dude,
it'd be funnier if he used the Switchblade as a phone. If he's doing some physical comedy,
it would have been great.
That'd have been great. I'd be in on that.
The thing is, Alex doesn't do that. But what he does do is pretend that.
Is
callers.
Rob do.
He pretends that his callers are high-level sources and shit like that.
Yeah. So, he had three high-level libertarian online people give him a call and say, are you okay?
Soros groups are coming after you.
Yeah.
What are Soros groups?
Soros groups.
What are they? What's a Soros group?
They're Soros groups.
Okay, great.
They're roving bands of Soroses.
Great.
And also they are enemies of the Reptoids, the Soroses and the Reptoids.
He's a raptor.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Soros is a raptor. We've got that right. Clear. But that means that Soros
there
is a bad guy.
They're apatosauruses.
Soros is a bad guy then because he's aligned with Mark Richards.
Ooh, now we're in trouble.
So now...
It's all falling apart.
Ooh, shit.
Did we just write ourselves into Alex Jones's team?
No, because the Reptoids are the good ones, and they're on BuzzFeed's staff, according to Alex's fake source there. And the Reptoids are fighting the Raptors. So in that case, George Soros has to be a Reptoid.
Okay.
So he's good. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore.
This is getting too interesting for me.
Right. So, I mean, he's talking about himself. He's projecting a ton. And then he gets into this about talking to people under globalist mind control. And I believe it is more projection.
And that's it. And like, you try to talk to people that are under this, and they're just worldly and think they're angling and think like you're a sociopath like them. You're like, hey, I'm not being a sociopath. I really want to build something, and I think you have value, and I really think you're being manipulated. No, you're going to get it. You're trying to control me. And you're just like, no, I'm not. Let me give you an example of I was being Machiavelli, what I could do. Oh, my God, you're threatening me. You're like, no, I was said I'm giving you an example. I mean, it's delusion. It's people that can't track history and current time, space, and past and future like a mapping system. They can't track it. They just think. If it's emotion and it's what I'm feeling, it must be real.
Hmm. Interesting. Jordan, you're having a real intense response. I don't think in the year we've been doing this, you ever hit yourself in the head with the mic.
This one was bananas.
Well, he's doing...
Even when he was like, here's how Machiavellian I can be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just do what I do.
You're right.
That's literally what he does. Word for word, that is a perfect... I could not have described his job better than what he just did right there. Look at what I can do. I can say, oh, you're attacking me. And then you're like, no, I was just giving you an example of what you said. And he's like, oh, it's terrible. He just described what he does.
Basically, yeah. And his sort of self-perception of how he interacts with people is fascinating. Like, his idea that he goes up to people and is like, look, I just want to build something great. Like, no, you don't. You scream at people all the time. We have video of you on the streets yelling drunkenly at a lady. Calling her cupcake over and over again.
Yeah.
Countless instances of him just being abusive to people on the street.
It's not about your words, Dan. It's what's in your heart.
You just want to build. When he said cupcake.
When he said cupcake, what he meant was,
cupcake.
Let's go baking together.
Cupcake.
Let's take a lovely cooking class. I think we all should take a knife skills class.
Sure.
I've watched a lot of cooking shows. People get cut all the time.
It's true.
It's very important.
Especially when you're using a switchblade.
Exactly.
Cupcake switchblade.
I'm the switchblade chef.
Ridiculous. When you're banging your head about like him just projecting like crazy, I would be more prone to bang my head about that like idea that he's polite to people.
I think
like
it's
that
just,
really bothers me.
I think it's just that he was too accurate for me.
Mm-hmm. It's because he's got the booze in him.
If he's so accurate about what it is he's doing. I just can't deal with that level of projection. I'm fine if he's projecting more vaguely and you're like, well, a lot of people who are filled with rage and stupid do that.
Well, what,
but in this particular instance, that's his game plan.
At what point did you think that he doesn't know what he's doing?
I know. It's too blatant for me. I like it at least.
He's drunk.
At least hide it a little bit.
He's drunk.
You're not even trying anymore.
Man.
I'm disappointed in Alex. That's what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
Alex, you're better than this.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they're doing a marathon, on Monday, Cyber Monday, but they don't have a name for it yet.
And Cyber Marathon.
In this next clip, they don't come to that conclusion, but Alex and Rob do,
Info-warathon.
That's not bad either. They don't land on that.
Okay.
They try and workshop a name here.
So, we're going to launch...
Why haven't they hired us yet?
The special We Love Vice. That's what it's going to be called. It's going to be something like that. We Love Vice. We Love...
We Love MSM Attacks.
We Love Vice. We Love MSM. We Love Tug Bellies. We Love Double Chins. It's going to be called the Double Chin Broadcast.
So at this point,
that's
Rob
That's better
Dew,
than We Love Vice, We Love MSM Attacks.
Yeah, Rob Dew has zoomed in the camera on
they
the
might
picture.
As well have chosen We Love Mars Attacks, which is a good film.
It's fine. Yeah. He's zoomed in the camera on the picture that they used in the Vice article, and Alex has a double chin.
Yeah.
In it, but, like, I said this.
Is it ever mentioned that he has a double chin?
No.
And so he's just seen a picture of himself and was like, I have a double chin.
I looked at the, I mean, when I read the article, that didn't even dawn on me. I looked at the picture of him and like, oh, there's Alex Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's very petty.
Right. He's a very vain man.
He's obsessed with it. This clip goes on and it comes up more.
The double chin Vice broadcast.
It's pretty juicy.
Oh, shit. Female thoughts.
That chin. Female frogs. I mean, it's like, yeah.
They're right.
Man, you want the cigarette. I mean, there it is right there.
Fake gross laugh.
I think it's real.
Ugh.
Oh, my gosh. So, it's all coming down, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be called the Gravy Gullet Vice First Annual Alex Jones Worship Fest. And it's not that I'm worshiping myself.
Better than
Vice
We Love MSM Attacks.
Worship. They know how to get the views. They know how to get the traffic. They know you must misrepresent Toad.
Okay.
So, we're going
to... Oh, boy.
So, what do you got there?
Did he just... Okay, that is a... That's... What is that? God damn it. That's, That's the title of, what's her name's album?
You have to misrepresent Toad?
Yeah. It's Fiona Apple. I think she did an album named that.
I don't think that's
the Diving Bell and the Idler Wheel, I think, is also the other title. Yeah, exactly.
It's the foreign title.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even more sort of, I think that's projection, but it's an accurate projection. The idea that, like, if you want to get traffic, all you have to do is shit on me, because I am the greatest.
Oh, if only.
And if that was the case, we would be the biggest podcast
Huge.
In the world.
We'd be massive.
Yeah, but, I wrestle with this. It's possible that the reason that we're not is, and what he's saying there could be correct. We're not misrepresenting him. Maybe we should be misrepresenting him, and then people would flock.
Yeah, that actually sounds right. Maybe that's why we're bad at this.
We
Dan.
Should do one episode where we just lie about it. See what
the
happens.
The special knowledge fight episode where we lie the entire time.
The InfoWars inspired. You know how like some like Buffy did a musical episode where everybody sang everything?
Oh, that's what we'll do then.
We do a special episode where we do like it's like actual InfoWars.
No, this is the trick.
We got to be drunk.
This is how we actually do an episode where we switch places. You know how at the Dollop, occasionally they'll have an episode where Gareth reads to Dave? That's the way that we can do it. That way I still don't have to know anything about
Alex
Jones. Because I can just make Alex Jones shit up.
I'm interested in giving that a try.
I'll record fake Alex Jones clips in my voice. I'll play them for you and explain what's going on.
I like the sound of it.
This is not a terrible idea.
Coming up. But before we do that, Alex has got to talk a little bit more about Roy Moore.
Vice gave us a bad review. Oh, but when they give all their fake comedians bad reviews on Netflix, they prop them up, give them 5 stars.
No, they're real comedians.
So what he's talking about there is all the, like, brigading that they do with, like, giving bad reviews to Amy Schumer stuff because they don't like her. And,
Were they part of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
God
yeah.
damn it.
And all the alt-right communities online, that's what they do. They
right.
just bombard people with bad reviews
right.
To make it look like nobody likes something.
Right.
And then Alex is like, oh, but Vice will prop them up. It's like, eh, maybe they're taking the craft into consideration and the actual product, as opposed to you guys trying to make it look like Ghostbusters with women is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, that movie was good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I could do with a little less mugging to the camera, but what
a little
are you
more
do?
Zach Woods.
A little more Zach Woods, not bad.
I always say that. A little more Zach Woods.
There is no large enough amount of Zach Woods.
Love Zach Woods.
His Silicon Valley character and his evolving backstory, perfect.
He's the best.
Delightful.
Oh my gosh, we got a bad review. We're just gonna have to shut down. I mean. Alex Jones and guests defend Roy Moore against child sex charges.
pivoted on a dime there. what he's now talking about is another article online, because he's sitting at his desk scrolling through stuff.
Right.
He's drunk, and he's just looking at the internet.
Right.
And so there's a...
Riveting television.
There's something about... Well, he actually searches Alex Jones at one point, and I'm like, please have Knowledge Fight pop up. Please, 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 please. It doesn't. But
of course not. Because we're bad at SEO as well as everything else.
Turns out. So there's an article that's talking about how him and Shepard Ambliss did defend Roy Moore intensely on the show. And so he's getting defensive about that.
I call him Shambliss.
Sure.
He's a nice type of wine.
He's a shambler.
No, he didn't. The early charges were he told girls they were pretty.
Nope.
Great,
he said,
great
"I'll have these
about
politicians are pedophiles. If it's true, throw him out of office. I'll break his jaw if it's true."
Right.
I said, but none of that's in there. They just put this out.
It's
oh,
true.
Really? We're the ones for defending the child sex. I thought it didn't exist.
You guys are defending child sex.
At this point.
That's literally what you're doing right now.
And his image, or what he's trying to present as the reality, that the early charges were that he just told someone they were pretty, is not.
No.
That is not at all.
No.
Even from day one, that was not the case. And that's the world you get to live in when you're Alex.
Yeah.
And you read headlines and generally only look at media that is full of shit.
Yeah, you can make stuff up.
Exactly. And, it's a bummer.
What is
it? It's a bummer.
All right.
Because at this point, like, that stuff, that's...
Okay, here's my quick interruption, and I am sorry about the interruption.
I didn't have anywhere great to go. So go ahead.
Okay. All right. Do you think he thinks he's in a bad spot with this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you genuinely think that right now he's kind of scrambling to figure out how he's going to worm his way through all these landmines going around there.
Yes.
And he's not sure if he can pull it off. So he got drunk?
No, I don't think that's why.
And tried to pull it off drunk, and that way,
Rob, which is not a terrible idea.
Rob
knew we had a tough job ahead of us, but we drank a bunch of wine and we got it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible idea.
Did it again.
It's like not going to an audition, because if you don't try, you can't fail. You know?
Right, right.
Like, if you're drunk trying to do that, you can just be like, that's drunk Alex. What are you going to do with that guy now that I'm sober?
The Roy Moore stuff in this episode.
Who among us hasn't said the N-word while drunk? Wait, what? Huh?
The Roy Moore stuff in this episode is accidental, I think.
Uh-huh.
Because this is just about trying to announce the marathon that they need to make a lot of money on Cyber Monday. This stuff is not stuff he means to talk about.
There's nothing I love more than when you sum up the goal and it's so far removed from anything that they do.
Well, what? Let me give you the reality. Let me give you the reality. Him and Rob Dew are drinking.
Yeah.
Because Dew is drunk too.
Yeah.
The two of them are having some drinks and you're like, oh, we got to promote this marathon that we're going to do. Dew, get the camera.
Right.
And that's what happened. And then all of the content is
drunk guys talking shit.
And it's roughshod. It's like, whatever. He's sitting at a computer, and just whatever pops up is what they're like, all right, well, I don't have the audio of it because it's awful, but like, there's a period of the show where he's just like, Paul Joseph Watson had a great report today. And then he just plays like 20 seconds of it. And he's like, oh, what a powerful interview with Michael Savage.
Jesus
and he just plays
Christ.
Some of that. Like, so it's like watching a drunk old man cruise the Alex Jones internet, you know, to some extent. It's terrible. But again, it's just to promote the marathon. The
rest. Right.
But to your question, I do think he thinks he's in a bad place.
Okay.
With the Roy Moore narrative. I think he understands that, like, I'm over a pickle barrel here in some ways, because
I have come out very hard against pedophilia, and I think I'm alone in that.
Yes.
Yet at the same time, I am coming out very hard for pedophilia.
Yeah. And the only way to really make this argument stick or whatever, the only way Alex can make this argument is to say that all the women who are making the accusations are liars.
Exactly.
In the same way that he does with Trump. But the unfortunate thing about that is, so you've built a cottage industry out of Bill Clinton is a rapist t-shirts.
Right.
And how, like, why won't the media listen to Juanita Broderick?
Right.
And stuff like that. And so you gotta, I think
you can pull it off if you're Alex.
You can.
Well,
you do a mind trick. You do a Jedi mind trick with your audience. And you never let them realize that the two things are inherently spiritually contradictory to each other. When you're like, no, the women who are attacking Republicans are liars paid by Soros. The women who are attacking Democrats are pure snow-driven women who are victims.
Right.
And we need to defend them in the same way that, like, all of the liberals, they just defend pedophiles across the board, the Podestas,
right,
Comet Ping Pong Pizza, and then on the right, no, he's not. It's all lies.
My theory.
It's a disgraceful web.
Genuine theory.
Okay.
Especially with guys like Mitch McConnell even saying, like, I believe those people.
Yeah.
One, I know Roy Moore. He's gross. That's all I needed to know. But I think one of the big things that is influencing Alex in this regard is normally I think he would go straight after, oh, they're lying, it's politically motivated, it's all liberals. But the fact that so many women have been coming out now, not just at anyone in particular, but across the board, because of that, there is an influence that has happened, which is why against their political instincts, like Mitch McConnell, his best move is to say, I don't believe them. The same way the Alabama... Alex's best move, the Alabama Republicans who support Roy Moore now realized, hey, we can't give a step. We got to lock ranks even harder and not allow anybody through this.
Or,
and that's how we're going to get through.
Or do that now and then deal with the reality later if we have to.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's
the best
shitty
move. And I think he's influenced by this outpouring of women. And he's...
Can I be clearer? I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I think that the reality is that there are very few politicians that Alex Jones has done such a load of work in terms of branding as Trump-style, Trump-revolution politicians. He spent like a month before the primary.
With Roy Moore.
Being like against Luther Strange, being like, this guy, he's a part of the Trump agenda. He gets it. He, like, fucking Roy Moore comes to things with guns out. And
yeah.
Stuff, like, literal guns
at
speeches. And
Sun's
like,
out, guns out.
Right, and Alex, I think Alex, in order to turn on that, would be a really fucking big deal. Because he doesn't have, there aren't a lot of Trump agenda people who are actually in office.
Then why isn't he saying that they're all liars?
He is.
Is he?
Most of it, yeah.
But that's the thing, it's not all of it.
No, but the stuff that's not lies is the idea that he went and asked parents to date their teenage daughter. And he always says, like, 16, 17, which is legal in Alabama.
Though, still that's gross.
Very gross, but it's
still
technically
gross.
Illegal.
Yeah.
So, but Alex says that all the other stuff, all the assault, all that stuff is lies. The only stuff that's true is, hey, it's slightly creepy behavior. I'm not for it. I don't want my daughters being engaged in it. But I get where it comes from. It's a Southern tradition. That sort of thing.
Yeah,
so
but I don't understand why he would do that.
I don't either.
Why would you give
because
even an inch?
Because he's in a difficult position.
Right.
Because some of it you can't say is lies.
But the correct move is to say it's lies.
Alex is an unconventional man.
We all know that that doesn't matter.
Alex likes to create an entirely robust fictional universe to live in.
That's
and
true.
You can't just do the most sensible thing
he's
all the
making
time.
A classic blunder in believing a woman. If you're on the right wing, do not do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
I think Alex is believing a parent of a woman. Mm. I think that's more what he's doing. He's believing the dad of it. So it's not believing a woman. That might be even more to the point of what's going on.
That's a good point.
Because the dad would come out and say, Roy Moore asked to date my daughter.
Yeah.
Alex believes that. Wouldn't believe the daughter.
Right.
So there might be some of that. But anyway, like I said, this is a marathon commercial through and through.
Yeah.
And so in this next clip...
Does he do any ad drops?
He doesn't do any ad drops, but...
It's a special report.
Yeah, which is an ad for...
Of course,
a
himself.
A 34-hour ad that he's going to do. But
you got to give the man some hustle credit.
There's no doubt.
He's professional wrestling level of tease
to tease
to tease.
It's just like he lives in this character.
Yeah.
But the next clip here, he discusses some ideas that he has for the marathon.
We'll go on the name by tomorrow, but with the first annual Vice Appreciation Gala. And we will invite Vice to come on, and we'll fly in all those trannies. But they'll bring poles. They got to pole dance right in front of adults, though. Sorry, okay. There no kids right will give you cash. How's that sound?
Great.
And then we'll have maybe some midgets. Oh, that's looking direct.
Fucking
we'll
great
have some dwarfs. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a boy. We'll have some little people.
You're a great fucking
deliver,
man.
Deliver, poor buddies, martinis, and like have big sombreros on that you put nachos. Oh, wait, that's sexist. There'll probably be an article about it. But see, Howard Stern can make the joke. He's an anointed one. He's allowed to.
So
no, he just makes jokes, and
well,
you do not.
I don't listen to Stern really ever, or
me neither
at all anymore.
Me neither.
And from what I can know from people who do listen, that's not what his show's like anymore. But be that as it may, anybody who has any awareness of Howard Stern knows that his entire career was fighting.
Yeah.
It was all being censored and him fighting against people censoring him.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, the use of little people and stuff like that was an attempt to make a point. And I don't know if I'm going to give him all that credit, but there is an aspect of it that is rebellion for rebellion's sake in terms of defining the lines of free speech.
Right.
And Alex, if he wrestled with that a little bit, would... don't fucking step to Howard Stern when you're trying to make your dumbass jokes in your ad commercial for a commercial.
Yeah.
But I also don't understand how having people in sombreros, little people in sombreros, is sexist. He's just losing the thread.
No, he just lost that.
Yeah, he has...
He's just mad-libbing poorly now.
He's scatting through like this idea. And the trans stuff is... he's just going back to the drag queens, which is why... I brought that up earlier, so it didn't come as such a weird aside.
Pretty unhappy with that.
It's not great.
Not a fan.
It's not great.
Not a fan, Alex.
It's not good. So, lest you think that the idea of getting little people to come to the marathon was just a joke, it wasn't.
But I'm serious. I think we should have the extravaganza.
I'll have an extravaganza.
You just talked over him saying extravaganza. He's drunk. He's like, I wish I had some weed.
Yeah.
I think we should have it with little people. Can you get hired, little people, for the event? Maybe I should try to outdo Howard Stern. It'll all be attacked, though. Just like, oh, my God, he's a patriot. He's pro-free market. He's not Howard Stern. He's not allowed to have midgets pouring cocktails. Should I do it for the first annual Vice Special Olympics?
First of all...
Oh, boy.
He saves that, or he tries to...
Wow.
He tries to save that here in a minute, but... There's a very large part of me that hopes he wakes up and he's not like super hungover and he's like, that was a good idea. Let's do it.
I think Rob Dew or Buckley, who we don't know for sure is his cousin.
Right.
Buckley is like, I think it's a great idea,
but
I don't think we should follow through with it yet.
Well,
give Trump a few more years when we've subjugated the little people.
Uh-huh.
And then we can pull it off all we want.
The thing is, like, the only reason that I have an interest in him actually trying this is, like, he does not have the grace of a Howard Stern. He doesn't have the skill. So it would just be a complete mess of, like, trying to use exploitation as a performance piece or whatever. It would just...
exploiting people to demonstrate exploitation.
But it wouldn't be that.
It would be exploitation to exploit people.
And it would be probably a grisly spectacle. Like, it would be a serious misstep.
It would be... It would be comical.
Yes. Yes.
Which is where we're really turning. I love... I'm starting to turn really hard towards this is now hilarious. All of life is hilarious. We have two acting directors of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and that is objectively hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. It's stupid. But I'll be goddamned if having two popes in 2017 isn't really funny.
It's pretty crazy.
It's really funny.
So the Alex said the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
And that is obviously him...
Yeah, that's obviously him giving up the game.
A little bit, but he tries to save it here immediately after.
Should we, and by that we'll have liberals there, Special Olympics politically, they'll learn about free speech, they'll learn that in America you're allowed to have your speech, you don't get shut down, you don't get coffee thrown in your head, you don't get beat up like the trans woman. By the way, Media Matters wrote this big article about, let me show you this one right here,
Let me see if I can find it. Oh, there's the Jihad Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. They're going to attack the Vatican. It's got 200-foot walls and said bring in all the Muslims because these are all walls right here going in. And the Pope says, you know, give in to it all. Here, look. Here's Alex Jones. And you type this in and you click news. Alex Jones says transgender people are usually super ugly and weigh 500 pounds. Well, I mean, is that not true? Right, the average American,
no!
I don't like that, including myself. I just said I'm a grand toad.
So that's a cowardly dodge in terms of like.
No, it's.
Yeah.
I like how Rob Dew is playing the Salacious Crumb character right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, yeah.
In the background, just.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah. He comes into play a little bit more towards the end because I think Alex has taken big swigs off something or refilling his drink.
Yeah.
And so occasionally he'll turn the camera on Rob Dew and it's clearly to mask something.
Yeah.
Maybe doing coke. No, because that would make noise.
No, and also he would be way different if he were doing coke.
He's
right
a
now.
Little laid back.
Yeah.
You know, the issues with free speech.
Yes. What about him? I don't think we have any. Go.
Alex, his continued existence is a demonstration of free speech in action.
Right.
And then people who may or may not have been plants throwing coffee at you when you antagonize them on the street, that's not your free speech being encroached upon. Media Matters writing articles that, again, are toothless as fuck, that's not your free speech being encroached upon.
No.
That's just people responding to you appropriately.
Right.
And let's be clear. That
I would say inappropriately.
Media Matters did write an article about this, and it is. I mean, Alex has said worse things about trans people in the past, for sure.
Yeah.
We've discussed a good bit of it.
Yeah.
But that is the same, like, I think it was the same day or the day right around there that he had that South African apartheid proponent guy on the show. Media Matters didn't have an article about that. They didn't have an article about how he had one of these Swedlanders on.
Right.
Just lying about white genocide.
Right.
And so this is why.
Well, that's not going to get the liberal Twitter sphere up in arms, man. That's in South Africa.
It's a huge.
You don't even need to worry about that. That's
it's
elsewhere.
A much bigger issue.
Huge issue. Massive.
But that's that when I sort of had a little breakdown earlier and was saying that I don't think we have a chance. I mean, it's stuff like that. It's stuff like, well, you cover these things, which I'm not saying you shouldn't cover what he says about trans people. Good, you should.
We do.
Yeah, but you also need to pay attention to him saying that Charles Manson was Antifa. You got to pay attention to him advocating for a white...
I'm coming around to his side on that.
And advocating for a white nationalist group in South Africa that's spreading lies in alt-right communities here in America.
Okay, so we're Antifa. Which celebrity goddess should we kill? Like, who's the Sharon Tate of our day?
I don't want to kill anybody, so I don't want to answer this. I refuse to play
a game. I was just, oh, come on. I wasn't suggesting that we actually kill somebody.
Well, my immediate thought was...
I am winking loudly at
my
you.
Immediate thought was Lana Del Rey, because...
You love Lana Del Rey.
I do, but also
that just got weird.
Charles Manson probably loved Sharon Tate.
I know. Now I'm worried about you, Dan.
But see, Lana Del Rey is
the
like,
only way we can truly love something is if we kill it in its prime.
Well, Lana Del Rey might be past her prime, but I did not like the last album as much. She's not past her prime.
You're cucking out Lana Del Rey. Now,
she probably has a lot of great work left in her. But be that as it may. The
good save?
They you know, these blogs online pretend that she's an Illuminati princess.
Right.
And see, the only reason this doesn't work out now is she seems a lot happier now. Whereas in her first couple albums it was all like
very sad.
I wanna die.
Very sad.
That sort of thing. And
I think that's why you don't like the most recent album.
Yeah, a little bit.
That
Baroque style, that voice, that the way she sings does not work unless you're kind of like
unless you're bummed out.
If you need to be flat and bummed out.
Right.
Yeah.
Zola Jesus does not sing uplifting songs. No.
Mm-mm.
Not happening.
Mm-mm. So, what the fuck were we talking about? Oh, Media Matters covers
Is that what we were talking about?
Their coverage is incomplete.
All right.
Is what I was saying.
Yes, I think that is exactly what we got to with the what celebrity would you kill if you were Antifa
yes.
and Charles Manson was your grandfather.
Why doesn't Media Matters write that article?
That's a good question.
So in this next clip, Alex...
They should do a whole online poll. Like, sure. It'd be great.
Alex gets back to the issues with the crossdressers and that festival.
Yes.
And he splits hairs a little bit about being a complete bigot. And then puts Gavin McGinnis's business on the streets.
Good.
And I was saying, at the events we go to, they weigh like 500 pounds. This other lady, Blair White, I mean, you know, I don't care if he's a man or woman, whatever you want to be. I mean, whatever. It's the left trying to ban Halloween where I can't wear a costume.
Nope.
Like, if I want to announce...
That's a turn.
But I'm a trans person. Then I can join. I can gain, you know, 250 pounds.
So first of all,
that's already we're in dick territory.
Did you notice though that he uses appropriate language when he's talking about himself, but not when he's talking about other people?
I don't understand.
He uses slurs when he's describing actual trans people.
Don't get
and
it.
Then when he's talking about himself, he says, "If I was a trans person."
No.
That's a subconscious tell.
Of course.
That he knows exactly what people
Purposefully doing it to put them down.
Right.
Of course. Yeah. We all know that.
Yeah. Or maybe in his mind he's doing it to rile up liberals. Maybe that's what he thinks he's doing. But what he's doing is...
He's revealing that he's filled with all of these prejudices.
Right. Or attention is more important to him than other people's feelings.
Well, that's obviously true.
Right. Or their humanity.
Attention is more important to him than everything?
Probably.
Yeah.
And I can join the club. Can I join?
No.
Can I then be protected no matter what I say or what I do?
That's not how it works.
It's like Gavin McGinnis was talking about how in college, that's where he met his wife, a fag hag. Not a pejorative term, just, you know, the name those women call themselves. You know, they call it fag, queer, all this. It's your terms. You're allowed to use it. But suddenly I'm discriminated against. I can't use it. It's all a leftist ideology of control. Not the gay stuff, but the political control that goes with it.
What about the gay stuff?
He said he would go to the gay parties because it would be like 2-to-1 women and freaked out women that never had a guy hit on them that thought gay guys were non-threatening. And if you ever wanted to pick up wild women, believe me, at one of those techno parties is the place.
Techno parties.
And anybody that's been around the block knows that's the case. It's just crazy.
So what we get here...
I'm confused. What's crazy?
I'm not sure.
What in that?
Picking up women at gay parties, maybe? I don't know. But like what he's doing is basically... So do you know that Gavin McGinnis is a failed stand-up comedian?
Of course. They are all failed stand-up
comedians. Right. I didn't know that until Alex talked about it the other day, about how Gavin McGinnis was like... the way Alex says it, and this is obviously what Gavin told him, is that he got kicked out of stand-up because he was a libertarian. Or whatever, which is
sure.
That's great.
Sure,
kicked out by the HR department of comedy.
Yeah, that's how we do it. We got together and had a vote. You know, comedians, notoriously collective groups of people.
It's like Survivor when you're a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
So Gavin McGinnis.
If only there's so many people we wish we could kick out that way.
Gavin McGinnis is a failed comedian, and what he did is he probably was at when he was in college and he met his wife, he was probably at some sort of liberal party because. That is what he was when he was younger.
Yeah.
He was a liberal that flipped over to the other side. And so now he
joined the winning team.
Now he presents that history or that piece of his life as just a hack comedic premise. Yeah. That idea of like, you go to gay parties and pick up chicks. All the wild women, that's where you find them. Man.
Right.
And Alex is just repeating hack comedy as, I'm making a big point here.
Yeah.
But.
That's what they call themselves is a classic comic move of like, I can get away with saying this, but I don't have to take responsibility for
Why
saying
can't
it.
I say these words?
Yeah.
These words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Getting into Mike Richards territory.
Yeah, pathetic.
These words.
That's one of the ways that you can tell a failed stand-up comedian if they're on right-wing radio.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you got
to
do.
I almost think Alex might have wanted to do it.
Of course he did. We listened to him do
stand-up
comedy. But
that was because Doug Stanhope told him to. I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, but...
You can't point the finger...
But if Doug Stanhope told him to, that he was like, it's my chance to shine.
Probably.
I've wanted to do this for my whole life.
There's a good chance.
Yeah.
Because I kept saying these words, I just wanted to say, everyone go watch that Michael Richards video. It's... If you... Take the offensiveness out of it. It's really pretty funny. Like,
All right. Like, add that to the list of damn things that things
not
that are reasonable.
It is not reasonable. But if you look at it as a human experience and like just look at like, because he is a blank slate in term, or he's opaque. You can see into his brain the like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And then trying to save it.
Right.
And then just the dynamic of like the host has to come up after. As a comedian, you forget about that stuff.
That's always
like,
fun,
though. That Tom Dreesen was hosting that show and had to come up after him.
That's and like, that's fantastic.
You like, we've done bad gigs.
Oh, yeah.
Like hosting when something goes wrong, never to that level. But what I'm saying is,
I bet that probably wasn't too hard to get out of, actually. I think everybody at the end of, like, if I was hosting that show.
I think they ended the show.
Really? You think so?
I think they gave refunds and, like, ended the show. I'm pretty sure.
That'd be funny.
I have no idea, though.
I think I could get out of that.
What, you want to be the
next? I'm a solid MC. I'm a solid MC. I think I could get out of that.
You gotta do, like, 15 before the next comic in that case.
I think I could get out of it in 5.
Okay.
I think there would be.
Ooh. Here's a new game show.
How quickly can you get out of the N-word?
It doesn't have to be the N-word. But, like, it's like, name that tune.
Yeah.
It's like, name that tune.
I can get out of this mess in 2 bits.
Yes. And so what you do is,
I can get out of this mess in a bit of crowd work and 1 bit.
You have a comedy show that's going on a soundstage, and the audience doesn't know that they're part of this Can I Get Out of It show.
Okay.
And so you just have a regular comedy show that's going on for most of the show, but they're on the side stage. There is a negotiation of, I can get out of this in 4 minutes. I can get out of it in 3. Get out of it.
Yeah.
And then, as soon as a negotiation has been struck, the comic who's on stage does something super fucked up.
Right.
Whatever it is. Maybe moons the audience. I don't
know. Right.
Whatever. It's something that would be like, shit. Right. And then you gotta get out.
You gotta get out of it.
You gotta save it.
All right. Now.
This would be a great game show.
That is brilliant. We would get murdered if we ever tried to do that. If we tried to produce that for 1 second, that's
like
punked.
Legit, we should sell that show.
We could sell that show.
That's a good idea.
Marty knows some people. Marty, if you're listening, we got a show for
what
you.
Was the other show we came up that was brilliant? Deal or New Deal.
Deal. That's right. Deal or New Deal.
We've got two hot game shows.
That's true. New podcasts. Get on.
God damn it. Drives me crazy.
Get out of it. No, you get out of it. That's what it would be, too.
Get out of this mess. Get out of that shit. Get out of that shit.
Endlessly watchable.
So, this next clip, Alex does not get out of it. And he ends up talking a little bit about Roy Moore, and not good.
Dude, has Roy Moore admitted he liked to date teenage girls?
He has, and he said with their mother's permission is what he says.
I think it's so. All I can do is be honest. Just like I think 3-year-olds coming up giving money to big fat dudes. Okay, what do they look great? Some of the trainees at the wrong word. Oh God, I'll be banned, arrested in California. Jesus, wow. I don't care. I'm not putting people down. I'm allowed to use words in the English language. Okay, what do you call it? Transsexuals.
That's
some of the transsexuals
the right
look like really good looking women. I'm not. The point is, I'm like asking. The people at the drag queen festival, that their words,
not trans people,
their name, I'm allowed to have free speech. Stop censoring me.
No one is.
They were like 350 pounds. It'd be like if I was wearing a damn wig and shaking my ass. It don't look good. Fine. But I have a right to critique it and get my deal.
Yeah.
And then you had kids up there giving money to them. Right. It was sick.
No.
That's like 4, 5, 6-year-olds doing it.
Dan is reading all of his responses.
You gotta go see the video, man. Guys with nothing on, naked, with glitter on their genitals.
I don't think that's bad. I appreciate a good glittery genital.
Vaginal? It also is not real. That's not what's in the video.
No.
There's no glittery dicks flying around at these kids. There's not.
I'm not saying. It's a bad idea.
The drag queen festival is like a big official thing, and they're in the evening they had 18 and over drag shows,
right.
And during the day they had like workshops and stuff, and they conveniently went and took video of the daytime workshop type stuff or meet and greets
naturally,
and then pretended that it was part of a.
Of course,
it's just it's a shit game, but
yeah,
again, just he can't talk about Roy Moore without jumping off the issue.
I love Rob Dew coming in and saying something that Alex was not prepared to deal with.
As he said,
Alex was hoping Rob Dew would be like, you know what? He never actually said that. And Alex would be like, yeah, see, everybody's lying. And Rob Dew instead does not rescue him and just goes, oh yeah, that dude's a motherfucking creep. Did you know that?
So Alex knocks the desk.
Yep. Yep.
I think it's creepy.
Gonna have to, whew, what am I gonna say about that?
Creepy.
I actually think that is creepy. Maybe that's a crime, but I can't say that.
I better pivot to drag queens.
Yeah, there we go.
My audience will love that.
Saved it.
This next clip, it starts with...
He would definitely win You Get Out of This.
Nah, he'd get deeper.
He got out of it in one sentence.
He'd get deeper into it. Like, it would be even more... Well, I don't know. Can you get out of a, like...
Can you dig your way to China is what you just said.
More or less.
Is what we're talking about.
Can you dig your way out of a stand-up mess by confusing the audience? Because if so, then Alex would be like the
Alex
Ken Jennings of
yes.
the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, I'm not sure. So this starts with him admitting that he's drinking booze.
Right.
And then the end of this clip is just labeled, uh-oh. I don't know. I don't remember why.
I got home tonight. And I did deserve this Pinot Noir from Oregon. That's on my mind. And I guess you could say I'm into Red Ladies. Because it's really good and it tastes great. Mm. That's what I got on my mind. And that's the thing is,
I'm
brought up as a classical liberal. I believe in Americana. And I say do whatever you want, including commit suicide. I don't support suicide. I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think you should commit suicide. But if you want to kill yourself, go ahead and do it. I don't want the government getting involved in making people die.
What?
You know, that's a different deal. They can kind of mix those issues. But I'm the guy that got arrested by George W. Bush twice.
Okay.
And I'm not here trying to beat my bona fides or my credentials to the left. You guys are just the modern fascist.
Nope.
And I'm going off the rails. But to people that are really thinking.
Agreed. We have finally come to agreement, Alex.
I think it's both. I think they've gotten a bunch of fake people to talk about Roy Moore and make up stuff that didn't happen and have fake yearbooks and all the rest of it.
It is okay if Roy Moore commits suicide.
I didn't edit that.
No.
Like, that's just his
he
brain.
He just went straight to, and I think it's fine if you kill yourself, because I'm not going to say it.
I've struggled with suicide in the past.
I've struggled with suicide in the past.
So he just jumps to that.
I bet he really has.
Oh, definitely.
With his body dysmorphia issues. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's talked about being at the brink.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm drinking red wine. I love the red lady or whatever. And then he's like, suicide is cool.
I'll kill myself.
Suicide's fine, but not forcing people to have suicide. Liberals are the fascists.
Fucking Roy Moore.
Yeah. And then little bit of a pause. I think you got both. You got people making stuff up, and then also he's creepy.
Yeah.
And so here's where we go from there. This is Mike Down territory.
Him in his own super Southern way, until about 20, 30 years ago, older men were looking for a 16, 17-year-old woman who was 20 years younger, because that was your welfare. That was, you took care of her, but me, I can't tell you in the South, especially how many like 9-year-old guys you see with like a 7-year-old wife.
It's not the same.
Or a 80-year-old guy with a 50-year-old wife, you know.
Not the same.
Not my family. My dad's a year younger than my mom. My second wife, who I love to death, is 4 years younger than me. My first wife was 4 years older than me. I mean, I'm attracted to women. I see the beauty, of an 18-year-old woman.
And so there.
Could have stopped
at any point.
Could have just stopped. Could have been like, I'm attracted to women. Full stop.
To his credit, he doesn't elaborate. Like, you kind of expect him to fall into a pit of his own making there with the, I see the beauty in an 18-year-old.
I have been waiting for him to hit the argument of like, well, you know, we're genetically supposed to reproduce after puberty. So it's really kind of just... Look, if you believe in evolution, maybe you should believe... Like, that's what I've been waiting for the hammer to drop this whole time.
He doesn't believe in evolution.
I know, but that's what I was thinking, is he would be like, you liberal hypocrites think you believe in evolution. Well, evolution theory, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I'm sorry I told you to put the mic down for that. That was the wrong clip. This next clip is where the mic needs to go down. This is a mess. This is a continuation of the thoughts... And like I said,
you're going to say that for the rest of the clips to get me to shut up.
I promise.
Okay.
But he, to his credit, he doesn't like descend into a 18-year-olds are beautiful or anything like that.
Right.
It's just a stray thought. But then
they're perky. You know what? You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying,
Rob Dew?
It transitions into this.
No, listen, I want to be clear. Judge Roy Moore comes off like a good man. He's had a good history until now. It's all suspect. They could go get, and Lord knows they're probably working on like 10 women to make up stuff about me. I know it's not true. If anything, I was always shooting for older women. You know, until I got to be my age I am now, and now I'm like a woman like my wife. It's
as a result of praying to God to open up the Red Sea for me to this.
Alex is drunk. And he leaned on the computer and accidentally like hit the space bar, and it started playing the clip that he had on the computer. And so like you hear Michael Savage's voice kick, and he just looks over at the computer kind of scared. And he's like, bleh. He hits pause. And so here we go.
This happened, but I've told my list.
Anyways, a woman about 5 years younger than me, but only because I found what I always learned growing up, I heard that women between about 35 and 40 are at the peak. And so that's the issue there. So I am looking, I'm married, so I'm not looking, but just to men out there, a little bit of advice for you. That's the sweet spot. It's 35 to 40. I mean, they're great after that, too. But let me tell you, I've obviously got 4 children. I have not been celibate. I've not joined the priesthood. And so... I just always wonder what they're going to make up, you know?
I do, too. I wonder.
I wonder what they're going to tell the truth about.
I wonder, like, if you just told, like, I don't know.
Alex Jones, headline. A fuck.
Alex Jones, headline. Creepy ramble about 35 to 40-year-old women.
Hey, yeah, I have probably sexually assaulted some younger women. Almost certainly.
But I like them
all. At least 10. But let me tell you something. Who I really want to sexually assault, and all of you out there who should sexually assault, 35 to 40.
Because mm-hmm.
Guess what?
Sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
He has more to say about older women.
When I was 16, I was shooting for 20. I mean, once I had older women, it was like, I hear about these 50 virgins or 57 virgins, and like, these dudes obviously have not run with.
Failed stand-up comedian.
Dude,
laugh.
You're not looking for the virgins. Let me give you a newsflash.
Dana Gould bits God, from 3 years ago.
I'm not going to get graphic here, but, you know, in my day, I'm looking for women that want it and are into it. You know why? Because they're into it. Mm. And by the way, they're the ones that want to have babies. They're the ones that want to live. They're the ones that like to do things, art, passion, all of it. God, I think about the Muslims. And, you know, they're God Almighty. You do.
So.
God Almighty.
He weaves it into Islam there, but also just that fucking line, the older women, they're the ones who want to live.
They're the ones who want to live. You know what I hate about dating younger women? They all want to die.
They don't want to
live. They're all dying all the time.
This argument actually holds water with Lana Del Rey's first 2 albums. Younger woman, didn't want to live.
Didn't want to live.
Born to die.
That's what we know.
Yeah. I mean, that's so creepy. That's just next level creepy.
Very creepy.
And the fact that, like, where his mind goes from there is like, where am I gonna take things? Oh, Islam.
Yeah.
So then he talks a little bit more about Islam in this next clip.
You talk about a monotheistic, oppressive, anti-family, anti-woman situation.
Sort of Alzheimer's syndrome.
It's Orthodox Islam. It's Wahhabist Islam. And I'm so threatened by it with 3 daughters. Because, you know, I've got one son who's great, and I got these daughters, and I just look at how smart they are, and I think, who is it that's going to be the real patriot? Who is it that's going to really walk in my shoes? Like,
all my children just compete with who I love!
I mean, you know, God, to act like I'm not for women when I prefer the company of women. I mean, come around me in my private life, there's women around me. Listen to Rob, a good friend of mine over here shooting a video, and he's got a big family as well. He's got 3
and
sons
a woman.
And a daughter.
That's weird.
That's very weird.
There's multiple weird things in that, like, 35 seconds.
You can't think that I'm not for women.
Yes.
Because I prefer the company of women.
Or there's women around me. He claims to prefer the company of women.
There were a lot of women around Charles Manson, too.
It's true. It's very true. There's a decreasing number of women around him at InfoWars. I will say that. From everything I can tell over the years, there used to be a few of them, and now...
There are fewer of
them. There's Rainbow Snatch,
right.
Millie Weaver.
Are we counting her as 2?
No, that's one. And she's not there all that much.
Nah.
And then Leanne McAdoo.
She's busy being a failed comedian.
Leanne McAdoo is basically just over Skype sometimes.
Right.
Never really in studio.
Right.
The only consistent.
She's Legolas, by the way.
Sure. The only consistent woman I see there is Daria, his Russian translator
right.
lady. That's the only person that is there all the time.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And she's just there to do Yakov Smirnov jokes to Alex off air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Russia, globalists, I don't know.
Are Jews.
Oh, boy. So Rob Dew comes in. He talks about for a little bit how, like, when his daughter's got the croup cough, and whenever she's got it, he just sits by her bedside. And he's like, would I do that with my sons? No. I tell them to suck it up. I'm like, congratulations. You are raising your children differently based on gender. And that's arbitrary. And you're probably going to give your kids a complex.
Oh, I just the
suck it up,
can
boy.
Can we talk? What? Okay, so he thinks that a lot of his fear of Islam is based around
protecting
what they're going to do to his daughters.
Yes,
right. Why isn't he more afraid of Roy Moore?
Because Roy Moore is in Alabama.
Roy Moore is closer than Wahhabist Islam.
Now, that's what you don't understand. Roy Moore is in Alabama, Alex is in Texas, and Islam is everywhere. It's at the pool store.
That's true. It is at the pool store.
That's the perception that he has. That's how he sees the world. So, of course, he's scared all the time. Anybody who's not white could be an enemy.
That's not good.
No, it's very bad.
I don't think that's good.
It's very, very bad.
I don't think I like that trait in people.
No.
I'm starting to think it's bad.
I think it's called prejudice.
Ah, I think that's the word for it.
Yeah. So Rob Dew talks about that, talks about his sort of family raising strategy, and then he says this that I think is super ironic.
And they don't want you to be... See, the thing is the system tries to put barriers between you and your kids and tries to get the kids separate from the parents. And thinking that, oh, well, kids go upstairs and play their Xboxes, and mommy and daddy stay downstairs and watch HBO. And that's not how it is in my house. Well, we hang out with the kids till they go to bed, and the kids are hanging out with us till they go to bed. There's not a lot, unless we send them upstairs to clean their room or something.
And play Xbox.
That's what you need, more togetherness with families, not less together.
I don't disagree with his point at the end there, but a good counterexample is when you're drunk at Alex Jones's house on a weeknight making a video with him. I don't know where your kids are in this equation, but
they already went to bed. They go to bed at 5:30. I don't know if he mentioned that.
Oh, that could be true.
Yeah.
Probably playing Xbox.
Probably.
While you're drunk with Alex doing a weird commercial for a commercial.
I don't get, do they just think it's impossible for people they disagree with to share similar values?
Yes.
Like, I don't think there's any hardcore liberal parent that I can think of who would be like, no,
fuck the
we
kids.
Need less togetherness with our children. We're not worried about our kids at all. But no. They have to say that. Otherwise, they don't get to take ownership of any kind of family values. Right.
They own the space if they pretend that.
Yeah, exactly.
And well, I mean, a lot of it, too, is like, let's be abundantly clear. Alex Jones and Rob Dew are incredibly privileged people. They have a lot of money from this pill scam they're running and have been for years.
Right.
So a lot of times the families that don't have a lot of togetherness.
It's probably a single parent working two jobs.
It's often that. Or even if you have two parents in the household.
They're both working jobs.
Exactly.
Multiple jobs.
And it's incredibly difficult. So this perception of what you're judging, a lot of it comes down to like their rejection of white privilege and male privilege and that sort of stuff is kind of, it's not understandable, but I get where it comes from. There's a pride and ego that comes into it that they can't accept those things.
Right.
This is just clear blindness. This is just clear, I don't care about other people's realities.
Yeah.
And great.
Why doesn't... It's also a complete rejection of the idea that it could have shaken out any other way. Like
their lives?
Yeah, they can't possibly understand that they themselves could have been born to somebody in a different situation and have had fewer opportunities or no opportunities and have been stuck in that situation and have had to deal with a separate reality.
Alex Jones 100% would have been in prison. if his dad wasn't a rich dentist.
Absolutely.
And able to move him around.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. There's no way based on the...
If Alex Jones was black, he would be dead.
I don't doubt that for a second.
There's a huge possibility that he would be dead.
At like 13.
Yeah.
And I have almost no doubt of it. But be that as it may, it's fun because he and Rob do get to get drunk and talk about other people's lives and implicitly judge them like a bunch of dickholes. But they are doing this live, and so they're periodically checking the comments, and an interesting comment comes in.
Oh, no.
People are asking if we're drunk. We just got back 30 minutes ago. This is our first drink.
Yeah.
Like, where's your glass of wine?
Mine's over here. I finished mine.
Go over there.
Yeah.
Clink.
My drinks don't sound that much. Yeah, we're totally bummed.
If we seem a little relaxed, it's, we had a long day.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm dead certain of it, Alex. I'm sure. I mean, but you probably did have a long day, but I also don't believe that's your first drink.
No.
It might be your first glass of wine, but I bet you were drinking at the office.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen so many instances of him, whenever there was that one marathon where he got done with his show, and then they had the Robin Owen show before the War Room existed, and they came on right after him, and not an hour after he got off his show, he barged into their show and started yelling at them, clearly drunk at 6 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So
that's just a good day.
We just got back 30 minutes ago. We can't be drunk, possibly. No. And I think Rob Dew probably had to drive or something like that. It holds his booze better. Something along those lines.
Possible.
But Alex is, that's not first drink.
Yeah, he drinks with his kids. That's why Rob Dew is so good at it.
Yeah.
And that's why his kids go to bed so early.
So in the next clip, I'm going to skip it because Alex is just pretending that YouTube is now demonetizing liberal channels.
Right.
And he gives the didn't you see this coming when it happened to us?
Yeah.
He wants to be the first group in the I didn't speak up when they came for a break.
Right. Right, right, right.
But he's misrepresenting history. They've been demonetizing all sorts of channels.
Right. And it's not YouTube.
No.
It's U2.
The band?
Yeah, they're demonetizing liberal channels now. Didn't you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. That's how they paid for the iTunes album that downloaded directly to your phone.
That is a scandal.
I don't know why people aren't talking about it.
Really desperately trying to come up with a U2 song title to make a joke. I am...
Two things I know about Bono. Short.
Mm.
Love stealing money from liberal channels on YouTube.
Pop. That's one of their songs.
That's what you got?
Oof. You know what?
Fight. Not huge fans of U2.
On my path to making that joke,
yeah.
The streets had no names. Yeesh. Not good. Anyway, Alex is just pretending that whole thing when liberal channels had been being demonetized in the exact time frame that he had been.
Right.
It's nonsense. So we talk a little bit about the marathon here in this next clip.
To get serious, we were talking about another 34-hour broadcast, and then I just thought, dude thought, he said, we're out doing some work this afternoon, and he said, why don't we just do a whole other show instead of waiting once a year or twice a year? Let's just do it all the time. And I said,
money.
Yeah, let's just hire a bunch of talk show hosts and just see what happens and just get it going. Let's go 24 hours a day right now. Because if they've had all these articles in the Washington Post, the New York Times, and everywhere, and Vice saying, oh, we suck, and we're nobody, but we're Russians, and, Drudge is a piece of shit, because he linked 20 times, it was actually 20 times more often to the Washington Post. Imagine Drudge Report's the biggest website in the world. Number two, technically, but biggest news site in the world. Number two.
Nope.
Overall.
Doesn't actually write any news.
Linked 20-plus times, like 21 times more to Washington Post than us. And the Washington Post has articles owned by Bezos worth $100 billion saying, shut down Drudge, shut down Jones, they're Russians, just ban their free speech. And it's like, Drudge is giving them most of their traffic. And you're like, Jesus, they don't care. No, they do care. They know. They don't care. They want monopoly.
None of that accurately depicts reality.
Also, are any of them saying, I haven't heard the narrative that he's a Russian agent from anybody but us, really.
I think it's projecting.
Yeah.
I think it
is. You think he's just revealing that he is a Russian agent?
In the same way that he has revealed that already in our exploration.
Yeah, but I mean, in this way, he's like,
no, because
they're saying that I'm a Russian agent. No, they're saying that I'm terrible because I'm a Russian agent and I'm terrible.
There have been articles in the past. There was that one recently in BuzzFeed about how he just copies RT articles.
Right.
And then there was an articles in the past about how there are investigations into the traffic patterns and stuff like that of sites like Breitbart,
the ones that he revealed for himself.
Yeah, and so there are no one is saying he's a Russian agent, but people are saying that he's disseminating Russian talking points and stuff like that.
He's a Russian propagandist,
and the
an agent of the Russians.
The conversation in those articles, which he doesn't read, just reads headlines. The conversations have always been the investigations need to or seek to figure out or hope to figure out if there's coordination.
Right.
And no one really knows that. No one's making that accusation other than us. Yeah.
Probably.
So maybe he's listening. Anyway, we got one more clip left, and it's creepy as shit. I don't know if you know about this, but the right wing internet is really a buzz and has been for a long time about Joe Biden groping children. Do you know about this?
I did not know about that.
There's a number of videos of Joe Biden grabbing kids, but not in a sexual way or anything like that. But whenever there's pictures being taken in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Like there's one that is actually kind of upsetting where he's like grabbing a girl's arm.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know anything about this. It made me slightly uncomfortable. But at the same time, there are people who don't know how they're touching people.
Yeah.
It's not groping. It's not like, I'm going to get under that blouse or anything like that. That being said, if it is the case that these kids feel that way, I am on their side.
Yeah, somebody should probably say something to him.
If that is the case and these kids feel like they are being assaulted or something like that,
mm-hmm.
then by all means, I'm not here to stand up for Joe Biden. I don't care.
Nope.
But
again, we're not playing team sports. Mm. If you're Al Franken, yeah, you fucking did it.
Hit the bricks.
You did it.
But
that's that.
But at the same time, there aren't accusations that are made. There are just people who have videos that they're being like, oh, look at him.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. And in the one that Alex Jones and Rob Due decide to discuss, it's something that's on YouTube where Jeff Sessions swatted away Joe Biden's hand and like, get away from her, you creep. Like that sort of thing, trying to imply that everyone knows he gropes
right,
these children.
Right, right, right.
And Jeff Sessions was big enough to stand up to him.
And Jeff Sessions was more like, this one's mine.
Well, here, I'll play this and then I'll explain what actually happens.
Okay.
All right, here you go. Sessions swats his hand away. Good man. Jeff knows. This is classic. All right, there's Sessions right there. Watch. Get your hand away, Joe. Come on over here. Watch. Let's see that again.
Back.
Get Joe. Look at him. He's like a shark. Look at him. His face. Ugh, I'm going to get this girl. And let me get my hand in there. Get your hand away, Joe. You fucking demon.
He does. He literally waves him away from him.
Literally.
So that's...
Rob Dew's getting the creepy voice down.
He's really
taking Alex's lead on that one.
And that's like two drunk bros end of the night watching YouTube videos and be like, you see this fucking skate fall? Oh,
yeah.
Gnarly.
Yeah.
But if you watch the video that they're playing, because they play it on Rob Dew's phone, and you can go watch
Riveting. Riveting production values.
So what they're actually watching is there is a child who needs to be not where she is.
Right.
She needs to be a couple feet over to the side for pictures to be taken, and Joe Biden is coming in to usher her over to where the pictures need to be taken.
Yeah.
There's no audio. I would assume that he realizes that Jeff Sessions is crouching behind her, and he's like, he's got this. And so he is walking up to her, and then he's like, whatever, and just walks to where the picture is going to be taken. The hand swatting is absolutely not hand swatting. It's Jeff Sessions trying to straighten out or get lint out of the girl's hair. And how that's clear is because he is basically stroking her hair and does so after Joe Biden has already walked away.
That raises a whole new host of questions.
If the girl had lint in her hair, it's not like
I know.
It's two waves. It's two passes.
I wasn't going that direction.
Okay.
Jesus.
Sorry.
I'm not immediately accusing Jeff Sessions of being a pedophile and a creep.
You're not Mike Cernovich.
I'm assuming he's a pedophile and a creep.
He's definitely a creep.
But I mean, in that situation, how can you really misinterpret that so confidently?
Well,
if you can see that you watched it, you didn't watch it like the Zapruder film. You watched it one time and you were like, oh, this is clearly what's happening.
I watched it twice because they played it twice.
Right.
But the clear indication for me is if he was swatting the hand away, once Joe Biden is gone, there's no reason to do another swat.
Yeah.
Which to me indicates either an incredible presence of mind where he's like, I'm going to swat his hand away, but to cover, because I know people are videotaping this, I'm going to do it again, which is not the case.
No.
Anybody who's watching that who doesn't have a vested interest in trying to create some sort of a narrative would say, like, oh, that's...
If Sessions actually did that, he would be using that video to fundraise.
Absolutely.
Like, that's exactly how that would go.
100%.
Look at what Jeff Sessions will do. He'll fight for you.
Right.
He would do that instantly.
Yeah, I protected this child.
Yeah,
or something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
It's so clear. I can't stress this enough. The timing of the second wipe is after Joe Biden walked away.
Right.
This is pathetic propaganda.
Right.
And again, there are other videos like grabbing that girl's arm pretty tightly, it appears, that are like, that make me uncomfortable, and I'm not defending the big picture. I'm defending this.
Yeah.
I'm attacking Alex Jones's narrative less.
But
than,
they clearly see what they want to see.
Right.
Confidently.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of the interesting thing for me.
Well, they're drunk.
Right. That's true.
But be that as it may, that's not
and
why.
Rob Dew's narration is not good. I do not appreciate that at all.
Get out of there, you fucking demon.
Get out of there, you fucking demon.
Thinks he's in a movie.
Yeah. Gross. Gross.
So I don't know.
These guys are just gross people.
Yep. They like to dwell in these things. And the relishing of that, these sort of narratives and the way Alex launches feet first into... whenever he does the trapped in basements narratives and fantasies.
Yeah, his bondage fantasies.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't prove anything, but it's gross. I'm of two minds of it.
Okay.
The first is that...
Start mind.
Well, the first is the least reasonable, and that is that there are deep-seated... aggressive fantasies that Alex is sort of living out on the show when he gets into that voice.
Right.
And that's possible, but it's less likely that it's that, and it's more likely that he realizes the power of the fear of those things, and he's just using it like his favorite weapon.
Yeah.
Because it does evoke all sorts of dirty, scared feelings, especially about he brings up kids so often.
Yeah.
We have a natural urge and drive to protect children, and so subverting that drive is a really powerful way to get people on your side.
Well, it is telling that he is so delighted by it.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest, like, he does not have any empathy for the victim.
No.
And instead, every time someone is victimized by what he perceives as his enemy, he takes delight in describing all the things that you would be afraid of from this person. He enjoys it when these people are victimized.
But you could still argue, I think, that he's delighted by realizing how effectively it's going to move super male vitality.
No, exactly. I absolutely agree with your second mind, my point.
Yeah, it's probably just a crass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Alex...
And also a complete lack of empathy.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's taken as read.
Yeah,
you know, that's
true.
Implied.
That's true. We've already established many a time over he is a psychopath.
So Alex and Rob Dew got drunk, sat down, and decided they were going to make a commercial for a marathon commercial wherein they accidentally say a bunch of really fucked up stuff about Roy Moore. Alex rambles about his wife and how he likes
season
older women.
Season finale of Get Yourself Out of This, we just played this entire clip and then...
Good luck.
Yeah.
My favorite part about it, though, and I can't stress this enough, is Alex is constantly playing with that switchblade.
Yeah.
Like, it is a child. It's a child's behavior, a child's mind. Like, I got this toy.
I don't necessarily look. For me to judge that, what with all of my playing around with the pen and moving my leg situation.
You're not stabbing camera.
I know, but I'm twirling my pen. I've got to do all of this stuff.
You're
like,
not fascinated
I will
by
not...
weapons.
No, it is not weapons. It is not weapons. That's true.
Anyway, I got one last out of context drop before we wrap this up.
Okay.
So now
proving me Russian, baby, I've got Texas flag on my ass.
Yeah.
Great. So... I love it.
It'd be fun if he had a Roger Stone tattoo on his ass.
Oh, man. That would
that
be amazing.
That would be great.
I one-upped you, Roger. I mean, he has enough of these drunk nights with Rob Dew. They're gonna double dare each other to do something.
Sooner or later.
So, anyway.
They're going to get a tattoo of Roger Stone's back with Richard Nixon's tattoo on it.
Tattoo of Roger Stone's back, but instead of the Nixon tattoo, it's Alex Jones. He's repurposing... Like, I got a tattoo of you with a tattoo of me on your back.
Like Trump and the fake Time magazine cover? That's the thing?
It's like one of those optical illusions. Anyway, this has been fun.
If you let your eyes go out of focus, you see both Nixon and Alex Jones at the same time.
Oh, so terrifying.
And a sailboat.
Yep. Schooner.
Yeah.
So if you like to check us out, we have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
That's true.
There's
we do.
A bunch of writing content
you
there.
You fucking redesigned it, and you've really started kicking ass on explanation of what Rob's doing on any given day.
I don't pay attention to Rob every day.
No, fuck Rob. what Alex is doing any given day. You've really written some great stuff.
Thank you. And if you'd like to enjoy that, we would appreciate it if you check that out. Share it on Facebook. Help get the word out.
Follow
people...
us on Twitter.
Yep.
It's @knowledge_fight.
We're on Facebook. It's
and
just knowledge fight.
And if you
want
to tell Charles Bethea to go fuck himself,
Jesus.
Please feel free to do that. I'm still mad about that.
You got a rivalry
I'm
going.
I'm so mad at that.
See if you can get some like a rap style beef feud going. We're on iTunes.
You can go to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
You can download it.
Yep.
You can read you could write a review.
Good.
You could read some reviews.
Yep.
There have been
some great reviews.
Yeah, we've had some very nice people.
I also realize now I again forgot to give a shout out to the policy wonks that have donated.
Oh,
we'll do that next
do that.
Episode.
We're going to have to do that at the beginning of the episode, Dan.
Keep
God
forgetting.
Damn it.
Keep forgetting. Sorry about that. We got lost in a weird riff at the top of the show.
That was a significant riff at the top.
Yep. Anyway, we appreciate it. If you'd like to become a policy wonk, you can by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, click support the show. We would appreciate it.
There's another way you can become a policy wonk.
I know a couple of ways.
All right.
What's your way?
Here's my way to become a policy wonk.
All right.
Okay, go outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then say something to this horrible man
mm-hmm.
with this huge, hideous beard.
I understand that
Gandalf the Grey, back when he was the Stormcrow.
Mm-hmm. You're just trying to show off now.
What else could I do?
I understand with this guy that if you just scream at the sky, he'll hear you.
Yeah.
I understand that.
And if you do that, we will also hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall become a policy wonk. And what is it that you must scream into the sky, Dan?
It is this man's name with an offensive thing said before it. Fuck you, John Rappaport.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.